Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Saga Podcasts. These are your favorite hosts. I'm Sarah, and I'm here with Garrison. And today, we are going to be talking about an old one. It's not fully animated, either. This is a movie called Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Spoiler alert. This audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
Apparently, I didn't know this, but Garrison put this in the notes. There is going to be a new Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah. In like 2020, that's what I saw. But I don't really know how accurate that is because I really haven't heard anyone talking about it. Because sometimes on IMDb, they tend to like have stuff listed that doesn't actually pan out. So take it with a grain of salt.
Gotcha. All right. So we're just going to be talking about what happens next for this movie, which is kind of why I brought that up, because we have speculation based on our knowledge of movies and cartoons and animation, maybe what will happen next for this film. Now, I do feel like that the idea of a new movie would be interesting, but we'll talk about that later. But as far as the movie goes, the plot is basically about the creator of Toontown. His name is Acme, who is crushed by a falling piano and dies, and the blame lies solely on Roger Rabbit, who is then alleged murderer. And they suppose his motive is around his gorgeous wife, Jessica Rabbit, who kind of got caught patty caking with Acme. So there's some scandal here, and that's really the whole plot of this film. But we're not really sure if Roger Rabbit did it, or who was really the real scheme or behind the scheme here. So this movie was produced in 1988, you know, over 30 years ago. It makes me feel very old now. It was produced by Touchstone Pictures, Walt Disney Animation Studios, Amblin Entertainment, Silver Screen Partners, and directed by Robert Zemeckis, who is also known for Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, Castaway, and Contact. So very prominent film portfolio, I would say. And some of the leading actors include Bob Hoskins as Eddie, Charles Fleischer as Roger Rabbit, Christopher Lloyd as Judge Doom, and Kathleen Turner as Jessica Rabbit. Oh, and I should add that Christopher Lloyd is like, you know, the Doc in Back to the Future. He's like the coolest guy ever, honestly.
He was like one of my favorite actors back in like when I was young, like the late 90s, early 2000s. Like he really has nice like personality and like stage.
You know who he reminds me of? This is just purely probably coincidental that they are both scientists or portray scientists, but he reminds me of Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
That's an insult to Christopher Lloyd.
What? Really? What's wrong with that?
Bill Nye is a fraud. He doesn't know real science like Christopher Lloyd does.
I mean, I guess if you can find or build a time machine into the future, you're the only scientist that matters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I don't see it like Bill Nye and Doc. I don't see.
I bet that the directors or the writers or something had some sort of influence, and Bill Nye was one of them. I bet somehow they're kind of tied together.
What a nice dream that is, but this is real life. That certainly, I'm sorry.
Wah, wah. All right, I'll just go to my corner.
So your story?
So I think, okay, so I was watching this film, right? You know, like we normally do, and I'm having a hard time thinking about, like, what's going to happen after this movie. I think it's because I've seen this movie so many times, and I've never had the inclination or the desire to think about another movie about this. So this is a very new realm for me. Although I have a little bit of bias probably because I was kind of seeking the 2022 release, like we aforementioned the possibility of. And so if there was a second movie for Who Framed Roger Rabbit, I would hope that it would be based in California, okay? And there would be adult themes surrounded by the use of marijuana. Because, you know, of course, it's legal, recreational in California. And I wouldn't mind seeing some stoner cartoons. I think that'd be interesting.
That's it?
Well, okay, that's probably not
Okay, can I comment on that?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because back then, like, this movie is, like, set in, like, the mid-1940s. And they certainly show a lot of, like, they portrayed the cartoon characters in a very sexy way. You know, they, like, drink booze and smoke and stuff. So I think we live in a world where similar themes in certain cartoons still show those things, and I think it could be interesting to, like, see that.
Right, like the modern day portrayal of, like, sexism or drugs or whatever is just kind of hippies, I think. It's just all hippies. I don't know if it would be, like, the main plot. Like, I don't think that would be, like, it's not a character-driven thing, but it's just, like, a cultural thing within the cartoon or within the movie. I think it'd be interesting to see that culture kind of brought to modern Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I kind of was thinking about it too, and there's, like, some cool parts in this movie that kind of show Toontown, you know, like little snippets of it. But we don't really get to see Toontown in depth, and it'd be kind of cool to see, like, the Monsters, Inc. Toontown, where you get to see how all the toons operate in their own little universe. I would also like to see some more diversity in the cartoon. Yeah, I would just, I'm just gonna leave it at that. Some more diversity. I was also thinking about, okay, so how do I say this? There are so many different cartoons in the original Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you know, 1988 version, right? Huh? But a lot of them are Warner Brothers, which I guess Disney kind of is the head of now. But my main concern would be, like, who has the rights to some of these cartoons that before, when they were all working, like when all of these studios were working together, who has got the rights to these cartoons, and how are they going to fit them in without cutting somebody a share of royalties or trademark rights? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this is a well-kept secret, but, like, it's commonly known that there was lots of, like, back and forth during the creative process, because, you know, Warner Bros. And Disney and all of these other companies, they needed, okay, so they had agreed on like having equal screen time for all of their characters. So when you see a Warner Bros. Character, a Disney character has gotten the same amount of screen time. So even though it looks like one company got more screen time, that's not actually the case.
But none of them own Roger Rabbit. It's kind of like the conglomerate owns the character Roger Rabbit and Jessica Rabbit, right? I mean, that's like aside from, you know, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Daffy, Goofy, like all of those, Bugs Bunny, all of those side characters that are clearly already characters that have been designed by these studios. And I think everybody kind of owns a share of Roger Rabbit and Jessica Rabbit. I'm guessing that's kind of how it works.
Probably. Or just whoever, but Touchstone, maybe Roger Rabbit is just a property of theirs and they own the sole rights to that character.
That could be it too.
But but I want to say something about what you were saying earlier, like sort of about Toontown, and I made a couple of notes about like very important like phrases that were spoken in the movie. One being, since Toons went to color, and let's see, cartoons are drawn, because Jessica Rabbit was saying something, and she was like, when Toons are drawn, so they're drawn, and Toons can go from black and white to color. So like, do people, like, where did Toontown come from, and how did they come to life? And you know, I don't
like
know.
the origin story.
Yeah,
that's a good, like, I want to know who magic wanded this drawing, or some guy's drawing, you know?
Right, because I'm trying to figure out if like what came first, the drawing or the Toontown. Like, did Toontown inspire people drawing cartoons, or did people draw cartoons which brought Toontown to life?
You know, this reminds me of Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, how there'd be like just extra Toons that can't find work or whatever because cartoonists, I guess, just got tired of them. I'm not sure.
That is interesting. And they also were talking about like the main villain's plot for the movie was like building a highway system, and they all thought that was crazy. But we have them, so I guess he kind of won in a way.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Anyway, you were saying?
Lastly, I mean, I think, okay, so I gave this some thought, and I was thinking, okay, so what would a new Roger, Who Framed Roger Rabbit movie look like? And if it was like set in modern day, I would think that the writers and the directors would want to appeal to the younger generations. So I think it would probably be set like, you know, modern day, but it would be like a spy versus spy scenario, or a spy versus spy like plot, and kind of around the same like whodunit scenario. But there'd be like all kinds of futuristic gadgets and gear.
Music.
Yeah. Just like super cheesy. The movies that come to my head are like Spy Kids, you know what I mean? Like,
I love that franchise. Like, come on, don't speak ill of Spy Kid.
I think what's the worst thing about Spy Kids was that it brought on Shark Boy and Lava Girl. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything else about Spy Kids, awesome. Totally love it. But I get that kind of like vibe, or like I feel like I would see that kind of vibe from the directors and everything. Yeah, and I think it would just kind of be a little bit of a sellout to try and fit in with younger generations. It would be really, I would hope, not shameful, but This might be a worst case scenario. Who knows?
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it for my what happens next.
Okay. Well, so when I think of what happens next, I like to like think of okay, so do I want to make a story that is likely to happen, or a story that I want to see? And I think this one, I kind of feel that it's a combination of like likely and something that I think that would be cool. So the first one was a love letter to like classic cartoons, you know. Like I said, it's set in the mid 1940s, and it sort of has that hard boiled crime story with the alcoholic cop, and it's sort of like a buddy cop movie where Roger is like the silly guy and Bob Hoskins' character is the straight man,
right?
So they play off each other well. And so my story, I'm calling it Who Stole Roger Rabbit, and it's basically a story of someone has taken Roger Rabbit because he's antiquated and his jokes, like, no one laughs anymore. And that was sort of his main drive in the first film, right? Like, that was his main purpose, wanting people to laugh.
Right.
So my story is like starting off with Roger. He's an alcoholic now. Jessica Rabbit left him because there was a line in the first movie that I thought was interesting. Was Bob Hoskins' character asked, "What do you see in Roger anyway?" And then she says, "He makes me laugh." So I thought, what if Roger stopped making her laugh? Roger's not bringing home any money. He's not funny anymore. He's not inspired. But they do have a kid. I'm just calling it Roger Jr. And yes, so that's sort of that character. And Bob Hoskins' like child or grandchild is sort of like the partner to Roger Jr. And instead of a detective, he's a journalist. I think that could be interesting. And basically, the two are trying to find Roger Jr.'s dad. And basically, Disney, you know, that's like a whole giant empire. So, of course, they're safe, even though they started around the same time, like the 40s and stuff. And Looney Tunes for the same reason. So they're fine, you know, they were able to adapt. But in the first movie, you know, Roger could barely make stars come out of his head, right? So he's having a tough time sort of changing and adapting. So that's sort of how he fell into alcoholism. And someone took advantage of him, and they took him, mainly because they think that Roger is a bad influence or something. Which is interesting because of, you know, how the standards of cartoons have changed, right? Now they're like kind of softer, kind of cleaner. So they're like trying to get rid of Roger. And I'm thinking the villain could be like Mickey Mouse, because he wants to monopolize the entire world.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice jab. That would be awesome.
Yeah. But I'm thinking this could be like a globe-trotting movie where they travel around the whole world looking at the different sorts of animation, like CG, anime. When I was thinking of a story for this, I was thinking of Kappa Mikey. Have you ever heard of that?
I don't think so.
It was a like short-lived show on like Nicktoons where this American cartoon guy goes to Japan where everything's like anime. And he has to like act in sort of, he has to act in an anime show, but he looks like a 2D Western animated character. And I was thinking that would be interesting if like they go to Japan and interact with some of those characters. And CG, right? So the old cartoons, they had a weakness of like turpentine and all that stuff, which, you know, makes sense because of like that's how
paint thinner.
Yeah,
it's paint thinner.
But like, how would you get rid of a modern cartoon? Delete it, but like, how?
Yeah, you'd have to like corrupt the software or the hardware.
And does that virus? And does that mean that Toontown changes too? And if so, could like the new Toons try to get rid of the old Toontown? And maybe that's the tension in the story.
Oh, I like that too. Actually, I was thinking while you were talking about Roger Rabbit being like having lost his, you know, his get up and go, like that kind of be like a virus to Toontown. You know what I mean? Like the more like down you are, of a character, like the more depressed you are as a character, like it infests. Like Toontown, and Mickey is like, no, we must destroy them, and
wow,
you know, goes after them to annihilate them.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Cause in the first one, it's like Roger, like he like really couldn't help himself when he couldn't like make people make happy and stuff, and to see that on a grand scale of all of the cartoons. Might like cause like some kind of like cartoon zombie plague where they like turn into ravenous beasts and try to kill.
Yeah, but, like South Park, like the what is the weird world with Fantasyland or something like that in South Park. Maybe it was like Dreamland.
The one where they turn into like buff martial artists or.
Now I don't know. they literally open like a Stargate to Dreamland or whatever that other world is called. Hopefully whoever's listening can correct us, because I feel like I sound super dumb right now.
I don't know. They have like 700 episodes, but the main driving force of Roger Jr. is to get his parents back in each other's lives, and Eddie just wants to be a hero like his grandfather or her grandfather.
So the girl's name is Eddie.
It doesn't really matter if it's guy or girl. Edlin. That's good.
Nice. 2020's top baby name.
Edlin. That's great.
Edlin. Oh god.
Anything
else? No, I really like your story. I think that actually sounds like something I would watch.
Yours kind of sounds like a you know who Ralph Bakshi is?
I know that name.
He like made like a bunch of adult cartoons back in like was like the 70s, I think, 60s, 70s, with like drugs and like sex and
all. Did he do heavy metal? Because I know heavy metal.
Did he do that? Let's say something.
I mean, I can prescribe to heavy metal, but I don't know any of the other ones.
Did Fritz the Cat?
Yeah, we've seen that.
We've seen that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've seen that. Didn't we do?
On this show?
Not this show, maybe another show.
Nah, we didn't.
Oh, we should do that one.
Yeah, he's done Lord of the Rings, the 78 one that was animated.
Yeah, okay, I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah. I think that would be cool too, to like contrast the very colorful, happy cartoons from the first one with like the gritty, more realistic of Ralph Bakshi.
That would be kind of cool, you know.
Well,
it could be kind of surreal, like having CGI animation walking around with like 3D humans.
The 3D humans, like normal people.
Normal people.
Are you high right now?
No. No. What?
Okay. I think we're done here.
What about some of these notes you had?
Yeah. So I just. I just made a couple of notes when I watched the movies so I don't forget about things that sort of pop out to me, like Bob Hoskins sort of being like a racist alcoholic sexist character, which I guess was pretty normal for the 40s, so that's whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think that Bob Hoskins was the main character, really. Like, he got most of the screen time, and he has an actual character arc. So I think that he was, like, the real main character. And this was also loosely based on a book called Who Censored Roger Rabbit? And Roger Rabbit ended up dying.
Oh, you can't kill cartoons these days. You can't do that.
Why not?
Okay. Besides Lion King, who was the last cartoon you saw die?
Cartoon?
Yeah.
Last cartoon I saw die. Okay, so the first thing that started popping in my head was Big Hero 6.
I knew you were going to say that one.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, I was like, as soon as I said Lion King, I was like, please don't say Big Hero 6. Please don't say Big Hero 6. Because that was the only one. I was like, okay, wait, maybe there is a more recent one. And it's definitely Big Hero 6.
Yeah, I can't think of any. Like, Western cartoons, I can't really think of any. But when it comes to anime, that's easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the only one that, like, actually, like, dies in the movie as a part of the plot.
Yeah.
Besides Lion King.
Villains, you know, you can expect them to die, but like a hero, right? Like, is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like Big Hero 6, yes.
Yeah, anyway, my point was poorly mistaken. Just forget about that whole point.
I think we're done here. You have any final comments?
Would recommend. This is a classic. Not for children, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's on Disney.
Yeah, it's interesting to like see how the standards change, because this is like a pretty PG-13-ish when it comes to content. But this is a PG-rated film. This was like my first true time watching it, and I wonder, okay, so the Christopher Lloyd quote-unquote like plot twist where he's actually a cartoon, watching it, they pretty much tell you right away, and I'm not sure if that was meant to be a secret, but it was pretty obvious the way they did. I kind of wish they would have made it a little more subtle, but whatever. I kind of think that this movie wasn't that funny, and it kind of dragged to me. And Roger was super annoying, so I'm gonna give this like a 7. Probably a 6.
I can definitely see that, especially as a first-time watcher. I remember watching this film when I was a child and being like, man, this movie sucks.
Really?
Yeah. I was not a fan of Roger either. I thought he was super annoying. I don't know. Watching it this time, I kind of just accepted it for what it was.
And it's actually funny how Roger's such a pest. Because you take Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny, like two of like the biggest mascots, and they're actually pretty chill. So it's interesting that they would go with like the absolute opposite of what they are.
Yeah. I think in modern terms, this is going to sound so bad, but he'd be like considered a cuck. Does that sound right?
Explain.
like I feel like that's such a term that people would use to describe him nowadays, because he's obviously a schmuck, right? Like, he's not very organized, he's not very well liked in any of his relationships or atmospheres. You can never really tell if he's being used by Jessica Rabbit or not, or if they're actually in love. Their relationship seems super ambiguous to me, but, you know, who am I to judge, maybe? I don't know.
Who framed Roger Cook?
That, well, like that one.
That, I guess you said it. You said it all. Thanks for listening to Saga Podcast. Come back next time as we talk about Modest Hero.
Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. I hope you liked it. Come again.